You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 3. We started teaching all week or two ago on salvation, eternal life, and just Wednesday night just went over some of the basics, salvation 101. You know, there is some common ground here. Every church has a little difference. Every church has a little emphasis, a little different emphasis. But all of us have some common ground within the Christian faith, and that is the fact that Jesus is our Savior. He died and He rose again for our sins, that we're lost without Him, that He came, He died, He lived, He died a perfect sinless life, died for our sins, and rose again. The tomb is empty, that He's seated at the right hand of God, and that we put our trust and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Now, having said that, that includes a lot of different churches. Are you with me? That's our common ground. We need never forget our common ground. Communion comes from the word, Latin word that means common, something in common. So we commune because we have something in common. Our communion here really is, we just had communion this morning, our communion is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Hallelujah. That's our communion. And that communion is something that's broader than the four walls of this building. It's something bigger than just International Outreach Church. It's on a huge side of big. I mean, it takes in a lot of churches because that's what's common. That's what our communion is. Now, I understand there's some other teachings in the Bible, the gifts of the Spirit, healing, miracles, signs, wonders, those kinds of things. There are some differences on prayer in a lot of different churches. But our common ground is what Jesus did. Are you with me? That's the base and the core. And then from there, I believe it's very plain that anything He said is true. And, of course, we trust the Bible. Amen. We take the Bible as the final authority, as the plumb line, the dividing line, the judge of all that we preach and all that we teach. We have to go back to it, and it in context, as it were. So today I want to teach and minister on the life of that we have in Jesus, eternal life that we receive from Jesus, and how that it's in Jesus and it's not anywhere else. Amen. Amen? Some of these verses are going to be real common to you. Some of this is going to be real basic, but this will help you. I mean, when you go over basic things like this, you get more grounded, you get more established, you get more confident in your faith and more secure in your faith, and you need that. It doesn't matter what everybody else says about you, and it doesn't matter what you feel even about yourself. What matters is what God says about you, and you need to know what God says, and you need to assent to that, believe that, trust in that, rely on that, and let that determine your day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. This is God's day. It's not the devil's day. It's not my mood day, my emotions day. It's not the weatherman's day. It's God's day. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Amen. But if I don't know what God's saying, and I don't know, you know, what He's doing, then I can't experience what He's doing. I can't enjoy what He's doing. I can't be secure in it. So knowledge is imperative. We've got to get knowledge of God and what He has to say. That's why we get together. That's why we have a Bible. That's why we preach, teach, why we read, study. Amen. That's why you're here. Hallelujah. Concerning eternal life, notice in John 3, verse 15, everybody say 15, that whosoever, Jesus speaking, in fact, really, back up to 14 first. I'm a notorious backer-upper. Get in context, you know. 14 verse, Jesus speaking to, actually was speaking to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews that had come to Jesus by night, and Jesus gave him this great oration about being born again, about what it meant to be saved. And he said in the 14th verse, I will stop there, 14th verse, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now that's in Numbers chapter 21 where that took place, that they began to rebel and murmur against God and against Moses, and serpents, fiery serpents bit them. And they cried out to Moses, and Moses says, "Well, make a fiery serpent of brass or bronze serpent, put it up on a stick, and whoever looks up at that stick with that serpent on there, whoever looks upon him will live." And that was like an antitype of Christ. In other words, that serpent represented the sin or the snakes that had bit them, and Jesus took on Himself our sin when He was lifted up. Now, Jesus is not a snake, and He's not a serpent, and you know what? He's not sin. But He did become sin for us. that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. He took our pain. He took our sorrow. He took our griefs. He took our sins. And by His stripes, we were healed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I look at this, it always stirs me up, because it's not just talking about being saved and forgiven. It also denotes or intimates or it's a picture of healing. I mean, they were healed under the old covenant by just that stick being raised up with that brazen serpent. How much more the Son of God being raised up on the cross. Amen. If we look to Him in our time of need, in our time of trouble, will we not only be saved, but be healed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Awesome story, but that's Numbers 21 where that took place. Even today, medical, you know, the sign of medicine is that snake wrapped around that staff. Think about that. I mean, if you take that back, there was a serpent on a stick that represented healing or life to those that had been bitten. And so that's a symbol even today of medicine. Now it says here, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, 15th verse, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
Thank God I'm not perishing.
Amen.
Thank God I have eternal life.
Yes.
You know, I used to work in the wholesale produce business years ago in the Dallas market and did that for a few years, and those were called perishable items. And the reason they're called perishable, because they perish. Real deep. That's why, you know, people used to wander down South Louisiana. They'd always put their hogs on the east side of the house. And people often wondered, so why do they put them on the east side of the house? Well, that's because that's where they built the pig pens. Anyway. It's deep. Okay. 15 verse says that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. How many of you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Okay. According to the Scripture, not me, not you, not somebody else, God's Word, according to the Scripture, it says if you believe in Jesus, you don't perish, but you have everlasting life. And see, until you make the Bible personal, it doesn't help you any. And you build your confidence and your security, as it were, or faith for the future. You ought to face the future with faith, incidentally. You ought to face it with confidence. You ought to face it with courage.
Amen.
We ought to be able to stand in front of a casket of a loved one and know that we know that we know that they're in heaven if they knew Jesus as Lord and Savior. And even though we weep and even though we cry, we can have faith and we can have courage because we know that they believed in Jesus. And Jesus told us that if we believed in Him, we would not perish, but we'd have everlasting life.
Amen.
Life comes from believing in Jesus. It comes from trusting in Jesus. It comes from putting our faith in Him. And then he comes down to the next verse, probably the most famous verse in the Bible, the 16th verse, and that's what led up to it. For God so loved the world, He does not hate the world. I often look at this world and it's easy to get hateful. It's easy to get angry, mad at the things that go on in the world. I mean, it's just a natural thing. I mean, I see the injustice in this world, the pain that's inflicted from man to man on the world, and you get mad and you get upset. Here we've got a big, you know, presidential race coming up, and people get upset about politics, and they get mad at each other, and you know, about what's going on. But you know, God loves everybody. He really, really does. Now, there are people going to hell, but God loves them all the way.
That's right.
Waiting for them to turn, waiting for them to repent. Turn around. If they come to Jesus, they can be saved. And there's nobody out there you're having trouble with that God didn't send His Son to die for. And there's nobody that's saved, that's a Christian, that has gotten into sin or maybe sinned against you that Jesus didn't die for. He still died for them. You know, I remember Brother Osteen telling a story one time about a minister that had fallen and gotten in sin. And, oh, he was upset. And rightly so. I mean, I just get upset sometimes at ministers and teachers and people that are role models and that are leading people supposedly in the right direction. And then they go off and do something dumb and get off in some sin. And then people just run off and say, well, if he can't do it, I can't do it. Or it just destroys me. I had all my faith in him. I've heard so many horror stories about people that had a bad experience in church or a bad experience with a preacher. And that's terrible. I know it hurts. But, you know, we've got to get our eyes on Jesus.
Right.
Not only if we've been hurt, but we ought to get our eyes on Jesus concerning those that have sinned even. Brother Osteen was praying one time, and he was so honest. I love this about this is Joel Osteen's daddy, John Osteen, who was our pastor for years. He said he was praying one time. He was so upset with this man he knew that had gotten in this sin. He says, God, I just can't believe you did this. He's a minister of the gospel. He got off in this sin. And it was wrong, no question. Need to repent of it. You know, it's going to be damage from it. It always brings hurt and pain when you sin, not just yourself, but everybody. But thank God there's forgiveness, and thank God there's restoration. Are you with me? And so he was just working himself up, praying and talking about this guy. He said, God, I can't believe he did. And he almost had a conversation. He said, he could almost hear God saying, oh, what he did was bad, wasn't he? He's always terrible. He says, it was just devastating what he did to these people. Oh, it's devastating. God, I just can't believe it. I'm so mad. I'm so upset with him. And he said he'd just be low down and no good for doing. Oh, he's low down. He's the lowest of the low, God. And God said, I guess he'd just about be the least, wouldn't he? He said, oh, he would be the least. And he heard God say, if you've done it to the least, you've done it to me. And Brother Osteen repented and he prayed for that man. And he said, God, forgive that man and forgive me. That's hard to do. I mean, but, you know, we think of things in terms of, well, actually we think, how could I could never do something like that. Well, you know what? I don't know if you could or not, but whoever did it, and God knows it, and God can forgive them if they'll repent.
Right.
Who knows if they will repent, but if they do repent, God will receive them. And the question is, will you receive them when they come in the church? That's a good question. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Think about it. We talk about Jesus' death, His burial, His resurrection, Him dying for us. You know why He did that? Because God so loved us. That's why. When we were in sin, while we were yet ungodly, the Bible says Christ died for us. The worst thing I could have ever done, Jesus died for me. I was on His mind on that cross. I was who He was thinking about. Me and my sin, when everybody gave up on me, He never gave up on me. When I was the most likely to fail, didn't matter to God, didn't matter. He saw what I could be. He saw what I needed, which was Him. He saw if I would just come to Him, I would find life. I would find completion in Him. There's a lot of people out there and they've been completed. They've never been fulfilled. They never found their destiny because they never found Christ. They never found Jesus. See, when I found Jesus, I found my destiny. I found what my life was about. I was losing, going nowhere fast before I accepted Jesus. But when I accepted Him, it turned my whole life around. It gave me a future and a hope. It gave me a destiny, and it completed me. We are complete in Him. You know, no one in hell is complete. Everybody in hell is incomplete, unfulfilled, unfinished. You know, the old army motto, be all you can be. Well, I can tell you that's really Jesus' motto. You will never be all you can be till you come to Jesus. You will never be what you're meant to be. Hello. You'll never be fulfilled complete. Marriage doesn't complete us. Thank God for marriage. Jesus completes us. Great job, great company, financial security. That does not complete us. Jesus completes us. And of course, He'll give us a good marriage. And He'll help us have a financial success and all those kinds of things. But see, He completes us. He fulfills us. He has life. Life is in Him. Hallelujah. And until we believe on Him, we don't have it. So He says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. How many of you believe on Jesus?
Amen.
Okay. The Bible says you will not perish. I am now a non-perishable item.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I used to be a perishing item. But now I am a non-perishable item. I like that. Non-perishable items last a long time. And in God's economy, they last forever. See, I don't even need fire insurance. I'll never burn. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they asked them, you know, the king said, you know, at a certain time, I'm going to blow the trumpet, put up the idol, everybody bow down. They said, no, we're not going to do that. And the trumpet, you know, the trumpet blew and all the harps and everything they played. And they didn't bow. And they were just standing out there in the middle of a crowd. Three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were their Hebrew names. Have you got that? Everybody know that? The Babylonian names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You read the book of Daniel, around the third chapter. Actually, their real names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But anyway, they didn't bow. And so the king says, you know, I told you to bow. I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace. And they said, well, throw us in that fiery furnace. Says, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from that fiery furnace, and He will. And people often misquote this. They'll say, and if he does it, but he didn't say that. What they meant was, if you don't throw us in the fire, we're still not going to serve your God. If you do throw us in the fire, our God, whom we serve, will deliver us.
Yes.
They didn't bend and they didn't burn.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And really, we're not going to burn either. We're going to live. This is as hot as it ever gets down here. Texas, summer, heat. That's as hot as it's going to get for us. Never going to get any hotter. Because we're not going to burn. Because we didn't bow and we didn't bend. We believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not perish. We have everlasting life. Oh, I love that. That'll be something you say on a regular basis. I have everlasting life. I believe on Jesus. I believe on Jesus. Amen? That's taking God's word on the matter. That's just making it simple, making it personal. You are not who everybody says you are. You are who God says you are. You count. You're important. You got a future. Jesus loves you. He's for you. You are saved. You are going to heaven if you've accepted Jesus. If you hadn't, I'm going to give an invitation at this service. You can come down here and you can start a brand new life.
Amen.
You can turn around. You can repent. You can come to Jesus. See, that's what the Bible teaches. That's what the gospel, that's the call of the gospel is, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon, learn of me. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You'll find rest to your souls. What you've been looking for is in Him. That rest you've been looking for is in Jesus. It's wrapped up in Him. Life is wrapped up in Him. 17th verse says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Some people get all messed up and they say, well, you know, Jesus, now we got Jesus, and you know, if I don't believe in Jesus, I'm going to hell. Let me tell you something. You were going to hell anyway. Everybody was going to hell. Well, now they're saying, if I don't believe in Jesus, I'm going to hell. We were all going to hell anyway. Jesus came so we wouldn't have to go to hell. The whole reason Jesus came was because we were all going to hell. That's the point. You know, people got all upset and they said, well, isn't there other ways to go to heaven? Well, no, there's not. There's just one way. Jesus is the way. Well, that's just not fair. Well, why does the sun come up in the east and set in the west? Can't it just come up in the north and set in the south? Well, how crazy is that? You're not God. The sun comes up in the east and it sets in the west. And that's the way it is. Deal with it. Get over it. Do we sit around all day long and say, well, I just don't think it's right the sun comes up in the east and sets in the west. I just don't like the fact that it comes up over there and it comes down here. I wish it would come up one day in the north and just set in the south someday. Well, they have a place for you in Terrell State Hospital. I mean, gravity. What's that all about, huh? Why do we have to stay on the ground? Why can't we just fly around somewhere? See, we're trying to change things. We don't have any power to change. We're not God. Are you with me? I know where Dallas is. It's east from here. Why can't I go west from here? Why can't I go east and get to Dallas? Why do I have to go west to get to Dallas? Why is it that I have to get in a car and go down a certain road to get to Dallas? I don't think that's right. You ever notice we don't question a lot of those things? They're completely beyond our control. That's just the way they are. That's the world we live in. This is the world God created. God made a way to heaven. Isn't it wonderful that God made a way to heaven? Isn't it great that He loved us so much, all of us, the whole world, that He made a way, and that way is His Son, Jesus. And anybody that comes to Jesus can be saved. But oh no, the world's out there saying, well, I don't like that. I want to go another way. You ever see how crazy that is? We are kind of crazy sometimes. And miss the whole point. God's loving us, trying to help us, got His arms out there, sent His Son and died for our sins, left glory and became one of us, and rose again. And here we are with our arms crossed, just trying to figure out another way to get there. And God made the best way we could have ever had, and that is His Son. And life is in Him. Hallelujah. And it is in no other. Now notice that's what He's saying. It's the love of God that compelled Him to send Jesus. And it says in the 10th chapter, look at the 36th verse, 3rd chapter, while we're in the 3rd chapter. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, I just don't think that's right. Well, what do you mean that's not right? God made a way for us to go to heaven. God loves us and sent His Son for us. And he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Wow. I believe in Him. I have everlasting life. See, that's the message we share. That's the message we preach. That's what we share with people that don't know Him, that are lost, is that they can know Jesus. They can come to Jesus. We came to Jesus. They can have life. We have life. It's on the table. Anybody can have it. You can reach out and grab it. You can receive it. You can come. The offer's for all everybody. It's for all mankind. When they put a sale on down there at Brookshire's, anybody can go down there and take advantage of it. You can't blame Brookshire's because everybody doesn't show up. Hello. You can't blame Brookshire's because you didn't get any milk at half price, which right now is probably about $3 a gallon. But anyway, that's a joke. Okay. How much? $4.50. So half price would be, yeah, just be $2.30. I remember Brother Osteen used to preach, I don't care if gas goes to $1 a gallon and bread goes to $1 a loaf.
Yeah. Wow.
My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Woo, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah, He could then, but I don't know about now. No, He can. He's still God. The Word's still true. And you can still get that milk. But you can't blame Brookshire's because you don't go down there and take advantage of what they offer. You can't blame God because we don't take advantage of what He offers. If you take advantage of what He offers, you can have what He offers.
That's right.
And you have to come in faith. I mean, I know, you know, we put more faith in a sales paper sometimes than do God's Word. I mean, really, we'll pray about something and things don't seem to turn out right or look right, and we'll just give up. We don't keep believing. We'll get a bad report or whatever the case may be. Life's that way. Life's in opposition to God's Word. Your feelings, circumstances, but you have to keep standing on it. You have to keep saying, well, that's what God said. I don't care. Maybe you don't feel saved today, but it doesn't matter. God said you are. If you've accepted Jesus, Lord and Savior, do you really believe in Him? When you lay down at night and those feelings come, what if it's all a lie, you know? Hello. I remember C.S. Lewis saying this. It was so funny. He was an atheist up till he's about, oh, I don't know, his 30s, right in that age. He's a professor at Oxford in medieval and Renaissance literature. Of course, he's known for the Chronicle of Narnia series, the children's books. But he wrote, actually, he was a professor. He's a very well-educated man. And he was an atheist until his early 30s. He finally turned his life over to Jesus and got saved. But he said he remembered when he was an atheist lying in bed at night, thinking, fear would hit him, emptiness would hit him, and he'd think, what if there is a God? Let me tell you something, I don't care if you're an atheist, I don't care if you're saved, doubts will come and go.
Yeah.
Don't pay attention to them. You know what you know, amen? And we know what we know according to the Word, we know by the Spirit, and we actually can pull the Bible back out and say, wait a minute, whoa, I did that right there. That's God's Word, I am saved.
Amen?
Pay no attention to all that. Just lead your life and rule your life on the basis of God's Word. Jesus, the Bible says this about Him, that He came and brought us everlasting life, and we who believe on Him have it. Period. Are you Baptist? Are you Methodist? Are you Pentecostal? Are you this? Are you that? Well, those are all churches. This is one, International Outreach Church. But I'm a Jesus person.
Amen.
I'm going to heaven because of Jesus.
Amen.
Couldn't join enough churches to go to heaven. If joining churches would make you a Christian, sitting in a garage would make you a car. Just doesn't happen that way. Life's in Jesus. It's not in the four walls of this building. It's not in this carpet or these chairs. Life is in Him.
Amen.
And in our trust and our faith in Him. Now, life's not in knowing about Him. Life is in knowing Him.
That's right.
There's a difference, see, between knowing about Him and knowing Him. I've mentioned Brenda before as an example. I could write a book about Brenda. And all of it would be G-rated. It would be good stuff. But you can know all the facts. You could buy the book and read all about Brenda, know all about Brenda, but still not know her. You'd have facts, you'd have history, you'd know when this happened and that happened and how many children she had and so on and so forth and how good a cook she is and all the wonderful things about Brenda and how she's kept me going. The secret, if the truth be known, you have no idea. Now, I don't need anybody to amen this. I stand up here and I preach. You know, and I promote the vision and so on, but Brenda makes this thing go. I'd be nothing without Brenda. I mean, there's no question. She's the stability of my life and always has been. I'm not going there. I'll start crying. But I know Brenda. I know her. She's more than a doctrine, more than a teaching, more than a book. And so when the Bible talks about knowing Jesus, he's not saying know about him, know the doctrine, know the teaching. Oh yeah, I know a lot of teaching about Jesus, know a lot of facts about Jesus, know a lot of, you know, a lot of history about Jesus. Are you kidding? I study all the time about it. I love studying about Jesus. Love reading the Gospels, you know, and just going into things he said and how he related to people. That's just wonderful. But see, beyond all that, 30-something years ago, I met Jesus. Now, we can argue about doctrine. We can argue about teaching. But you can't talk me out of someone I know. We can argue about the particulars, see, but you could never talk me out of knowing Brent. I know her. She's more than a doctrine and a book and a teaching. And Jesus is more than a book and a doctrine and a teaching. He's a person. And when we get to heaven, we'll get there because he knows us. And when people don't get in, it'll be because he does not know them. I do not know you. I never knew you. Not know about you. Know you. See, you can't talk me out of Jesus. I'm sorry, it's too late. I've already met him. He's a person. He's not a doctrine. He's not a teaching. He is someone I know. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. He is someone I called upon that answered me. Oh, hallelujah. So, to believe on him means to know him. Isn't that good? Okay, 10th chapter of John. I got some of these scriptures I want to get to. This is all good. John chapter 10. Notice what Jesus said here. And this is, Jesus said this. Most of the scripture we're going to go through is going to be in John or 1 John if we get to 1 John. If you want a revelation of life in Jesus, you're going to have to go to John. You're just going to have to go there because that's where it is. There's more scriptures about eternal life in Jesus, saved by believing on Jesus in the Gospel of John and 1 John than all the rest of the books put together almost. I mean, he talks about it over and over. He quotes Jesus talking about eternal life, everlasting life. In the Greek, this word life is zoe. It's a different word than, say, natural life, which is psuche, or often referred to as bios. We get the word biology from bios. You know, psuche, we get the word psychology, but it also means natural life. But this kind of life is zoe. Amen. Yeah. It's different than natural life. Just like agape is the love of God, which is different from, say, phileo or storge or eros, the other Greek words for love. Philadelphia, that's the love of brethren. Delphia, brethren. Philadelphia, love. Phileo, philosophy, the love of wisdom. Sophia, wisdom. But that's not God's love. God's love is far beyond and higher than all the loves the world has. It's king love as it is. And life, king life is zoe, the God kind of life. It's always translated everlasting life, eternal life, the life of God. We got it.
Amen.
Amen. And you know how we got it? We got it in Jesus. When we receive Jesus, we receive eternal, everlasting zoe life.
Amen. Mm.
So here he says in the 10th chapter, 10th verse, "A thief comes not but for steal, kill, to destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Why did Jesus come? That we can have life. Now think about it. If he hadn't come, if he did not come, we would not have life. You can't have life without Jesus. Not zoe, not eternal life, not everlasting life. Oh, you can live temporarily here. But you can't have everlasting life, the God kind of life, God's life, eternal life, without Jesus. Jesus came to give us that life. That we might have that life and that we might have it more abundantly. He came for that purpose and that reason because we couldn't get it any other way. Why couldn't we get it any other way? Because it's only in him. And he doesn't have anything. He doesn't. See, let me say it this way. He doesn't have life as a separate option or offer than himself.
Right.
He can't give you life without giving you himself because life is in him. So it would be impossible for God to give you eternal life without giving you Jesus because eternal life is in Jesus. Hello? Get it? Well, God, I don't want Jesus, I just want life. That's impossible. You can't get life without Jesus because life's in Jesus. That's like asking Tommy to come up here and give me a hand moving the pulpit, you know. And Tommy gets up and he walks up here, and I said, "Well, Tommy, I don't want all of you. I just want your hand." Hello? Oh, wouldn't that be ridiculous? Now, come on, Tommy, I don't want all that. I just want your hand up here. Tommy, can't you just give me a hand? He would have to say, "No, not without giving you myself." Get it? Because my hand's a part of me. I can't separate it. You separate it from, you know what? It dies if you separate it from.
Yeah.
You cut your hand, it dies because it's meant to be part of you. Life, eternal life's that way. It's part of Jesus.
Amen.
It does not exist outside of Him. It cannot exist outside of Him because it is a part of Him. You want life? Here's how you're going to have to get it. You're going to have to get Jesus. Only way you can get it. Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You know what Jesus told Martha, Mary and Martha, you know, they came to Jesus after Lazarus had died, and Martha said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, he had not died." And she said, "Well, I even now I know that, you know, in the resurrection he'll live, but I know even now you could." You know what he said in 11:25? He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." I love that. I just love the way he said that. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die." And then he looked at her and he said, "Do you believe that?" King James says, "Believest thou this?" But we don't say, "Peradventure, hitherto, verily, verily, forsooth, forsooth," anymore. But he said, "Do you believe that?" That's the question, see. Do you believe? Believe what? Do you believe Jesus is the life?
Yeah.
That's the only way you can have it. That's the only way you can get it. If you've accepted Jesus, you got life with Him because life's in Him.
Amen.
In the 14th chapter, turn over there. That was John. I was quoting John 11:25. Mm-hmm. John 14, notice this, verse 6. Jesus speaking, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The sun comes up in the east, it sets in the west. The rivers flow, the buffalo roam." Hello. This is the way it is. This is the world that God made. This is the way He made it. You can get with a program or not, but make no mistake about it, He loves you and He's for you. But He can't change who He is. He is what He is. Are you with me? And actually, He doesn't need to change. You do. And I do.
Amen.
And if you'll come to Him, you'll find life. In fact, in the Greek, this is a very, very emphatic statement. It's hard to translate into English. It didn't translate right in this verse. It doesn't even sound right when you do translate the way it should be translated. Where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." In the Greek, it really literally translated says, "I am the way and the only way. I am the truth and the only truth. I am the life and the only life. And no one comes to the Father but by me and only me." That's the way it should be translated, because that's emphatically what it says. That's the way the Greek word should be translated. But it sounds funny when you say it that way. I wish they'd have done it that way, though, because that's really the way it says it. Jesus is the way and the only way. Old Buddha showed us a way. Jesus is the way. See, often Buddhism is called the way. It's more like a philosophy than a religion. And there's probably some good things in it. The only problem is if you just strictly go with Buddhism, you will go to hell because you need Jesus to go to heaven. Because it won't be old Buddha sitting on that throne, and it won't be Muhammad calling you home.
Right.
Hello? It'll be Jesus.
Amen.
It'll be Jesus. There's some good stuff in Buddhism. There's some good stuff in the Quran. There's some bad stuff in there too. But, you know, we're not against all religions because we're Christians. But there's only one way to heaven. Jesus is the only way. There's some truth in a lot of different philosophies and religions. But the whole truth is in Christianity. There's a lot of error and a lot of wrong, a lot of heresy in a lot of the religions too. But, I mean, there, when you just say, you know, what about this saying Confucius said in the Analects? What about this saying in Buddhism? And, well, you know, there are probably some good sayings there. Goodness. Some of the things are said in Buddhism were said in Christianity. Some things were. But salvation, eternal life, is only in Jesus. Jesus wasn't a religious teacher that brought us a great truth. Jesus didn't bring us a message. Jesus is the message. Amen. Jesus didn't point us to a way. Jesus is the way.
Amen.
Vast difference there. I mean, Moses and Jeremiah and the Old Testament, and even some of these religions like Muhammad and Buddha and Confucius and these guys, they were religious leaders. Jesus wasn't a religious leader. Jesus is life. He is God in the flesh. He's so far beyond, so unique, so different, so much in another category and class altogether than the rest of these what we call quote-unquote religions. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is the truth. It's life. Jesus didn't give us a way. He is the way. Ooh, hallelujah. He didn't offer us life. He is life. He offered us Himself. He had one offer, Himself. He gave us Himself. He sacrificed Himself. And if we receive Him, we get it all. Hallelujah. Because it's all in Him. Whew, man. 17th chapter, John 17. I hope I'm stirring you. Here's Jesus speaking, the first verse. First three verses, notice what it said. John 17, very intimate chapter. This is where He's talking to the Father. Now, up to that point, He had been talking to His disciples at the Last Supper. We just celebrated communion. And He just had the Last Supper talking to His disciples. After Judas went to betray Him in the 13th chapter, the 14th, 15th, 16th chapter, He's talking to the 11 that stayed with Him. Tremendous teaching in there. And then the 17th chapter, He's talking to God. Just Him and the Lord. He's talking to His Father. And He says in the first verse, Jesus spoke to these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You. As You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. What is eternal life? To know Jesus. Not about Him, but to know Him. Jesus came for this intent and purpose to give us eternal life. By how? By what? By giving us Himself.
Man.
Think about it. What did He give us? Himself. What did He offer? Himself. What sacrifice did Jesus make? Himself. What was that all about? That's life. He is the life of God. He offered us eternal life in Him. And if we receive Him, we receive life. Pure and simple. And life is in knowing Him. This is a life eternal that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Well, I've been good. I've done this and I've done that. Well, all your goodness won't get you to heaven. All your good deeds won't get you to heaven. All your holy living won't get you to heaven. I think we ought to live holy and do good deeds. Stay with me. But that's not going to save us. What saved us was our faith and our trust and our receiving of Jesus, because life is in Him. 1 John 5. Is this helping you? I tell you, here's some good ammo, as it were, to help you when you're witnessing and ministering to someone, praying with someone. You know, you're sitting down talking to someone who's lost, and many times we try to complicate the matter. We'll start talking about everything going on in the world, and it all comes down to Jesus.
That's right.
I remember in those produce days, I'm thinking about all that. I was sitting at my desk one day, and one of the brokers had come in, and that we deal, it was wholesale produce, so I dealt with a lot of shippers and a lot of brokers, and shipping companies, broker companies, and this one broker came in. He's pretty, brokers are, well, I'm trying to be nice. They're very full of themselves. They're very confident people, you know, in themselves. A lot of them just will do anything to make the sale. I mean anything. They don't care. They'll do anything. I've just heard everything in the world. You just lie to whatever you want to do. They're not all that way, but I mean, some of them, they get so wrapped up in a high-pressure sell part of the business, you know. They're loading trucks all over the United States, and they're trying to get them loaded out because they got to get them out one day, and they got 3 days to get them in. They got to load up another one, and they got a truck in Canada and a truck in California, and you know, they got to get it loaded. They're waiting. They're trying to sell these boxes of this, boxes of that, and you know, so they're just doing anything to get your business, and everybody's hammering at you and calling you. And this one particular came in, and he was sitting at my desk, and I always had a Bible at my desk. I always had a Bible on my desk. They called me the preacher. You know. And I are one, so that's okay. And I had a map behind me of all the routes in Dallas that we were delivering, different places and restaurants and stores and things that we delivered. And we got into a conversation about Jesus, which got that way quite often. And he was kind of belligerent and real loud, you know. And he said, "Well, I don't know about all that, Mike. I don't know about all that." And he starts in with a classic example. "What about a little Jew boy down here, a little Jew boy down here on the corner?" You know, and I'm thinking, well, I don't know why he calls him a Jew boy. But anyways, he said he's been a Jew all of his life and been faithful to Judaism all of his life. And he dies, and you're saying he's going to go to hell because he didn't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Is that what you're trying to tell me? I said, well, you know, let's say his name was George. I won't give his name. I said, "George, I don't know about that Jew. I don't know about that guy on the street. It really doesn't matter about him. What about you?" And I had this map behind me, and I said, "You know, this map back here tells us how to get to different places. And you go this road and you get to this place, and this road and get that place. And you know, that's just the way it is. There's a way, and Jesus said, 'I am the way.'" I didn't make that up. God said that. It's in the Bible. Now, you can get on the road and go the way you want to, but if you want to get to the right destination, you better take the road to get you there. And the Bible says, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Now, the question to you, George, is this. Do you believe that or not? If you believe that, if you believe the Bible, there's not 100 ways to get there. And it's not about the little Jew down the corner. It's not like about a starving Ethiopian's over there in Ethiopia. It's about you and God. Do you believe in Jesus? If you believe in Him, you can have life. That's what the Scripture says. Hello, I had a lot of conversations with him. I remember one time he called me up on the phone, and he was trying to fill up some truck with something. Anyway, we had several phone lines, and they were on hold, and I was talking to somebody else, and the secretary comes in and says, "George is on the line. He says he needs to talk to you. He wants to get saved." Well, he didn't want to get saved. He just wanted to fill his truck up in California. But, I mean, that's just the way they were. They'd say anything, you know. I'm going to tell you what I wanted to tell them. But anyway, 1 John 5, life's where? In Jesus. Think all the scenarios you want to, but it really comes down to you. What about you? What about you and Jesus? Yeah. You know, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, "Lord, we know that you can't do these miracles except you be from God. No man can do these miracles except God be with him." Jesus said, "Nicodemus, except a man be born again." I mean, he cut right to the chase. Whatever Nicodemus was talking about, Jesus went right to the point. I think we need to do that many times in talking with people. They'll talk about all kinds of things, but we need to get back down to the matter of eternal life. Where do you stand with Jesus? Do you believe in Him?
Amen.
Amen. 1 John 5, we'll close this out. 11, 12, 13. This is the testimony, 1 John 5, 11. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Where?
In Jesus.
In His Son, okay. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Man, isn't that good? You know, you see those billboards, the guys with milk on their lips says, "Got milk." God's billboard says this, "Got Jesus?" Because life's in Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Now, how many of you have Jesus?
Jesus.
You have life.
Amen.
And God wrote these things to you that have believed. How many of you believe on Jesus?
Amen.
Okay? Now, think about this 13th verse. "These things have I written to you." Wouldn't you like to know why John wrote this? Well, he's telling you right here why he wrote it. "These things have I written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God." What's that name? Jesus. Hallelujah. That's us. Let's say it together.
I believe
on Jesus.
I believe
in Jesus.
In Jesus.
Okay. Now he says this. "These things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Oh, I like that. Why did he write all this? That we may know that we have eternal life. Now, a little secret, let you in on a secret, see. He told us why he wrote the book. He even said that in the Gospel of John. He says many miracles Jesus did, if they were written, the world would not hold the books. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. See, you ought to read the Bible so you can know you have eternal life. You know you have it. And you know you have it when you know you believe on Jesus Christ. Life is where? It's in Jesus. Let's say this. I believe in Jesus. Therefore, I have eternal life. Pure and simple. Not waiting on, not going to have it one day. I got it right now. Heaven is my home. I'm going there, but I already have eternal life. Because I already have Jesus. Amen. That's what the world needs. That's what they need to hear. That's what we need to share. Amen. We have one message, and His name is Jesus. What do we preach? It's not what, it's who. It's not something, it's someone. Jesus didn't bring a message, He is the message. Jesus is life. And since we have Him, we have life.